Good afternoon, Wealthy Web Writers, and welcome to our live event today. I'm Heather Robson, Managing Editor of Wealthy Web Writer, and I'm going to be talking to you today about an opportunity that you may not have considered. So Google and other search engines have their eye on freshness, and this means a big opportunity for you. So why does freshness even matter? What am I even talking about when I say freshness? And I'm actually talking about pages and websites that are regularly updated. So Google, it appears, is starting to give more weight to updated pages. Now, we never know the specific ins and outs to the algorithm that Google uses in order to figure out how pages rank for different keywords, but Google does give us hints, and often SEO professionals are able to kind of suss things out by trying things and seeing what sort of results they get. And so we have a pretty good notion that one of the things that is very weighty in terms of rankings right now is how fresh your page is. If your page is up to date or has been updated recently or is updated regularly, those are things that Google is starting to place a value on. Now, this actually makes a lot of sense because there's a ton of deadwood on the internet. If you think about it, the internet has been around for a couple of decades now. And in real life, you know, if you build a shop and you start a business and the business fails, somebody will come along and put something new in that building, or if the building starts to fall apart and it'll be condemned and torn down and something new will go up there. So we kind of clean things away and put new things in real life just because of space considerations. But space considerations just don't function in the same way when it comes to the digital landscape. So a lot of times when things get outdated or we're not using them anymore or they're just not good anymore, instead of updating them or getting rid of them on the internet, we just kind of let them sit there and add new pages. And it ends up meaning that there's just this ton of sort of outdated, rotted information. And Google wants to make sure that it's getting good results to its users. And so one of the things that it looks at is how often does this website add things? How often does this website update its existing things? And for specific pages, when was this page last updated? Is it updated regularly? Otherwise, if you have a page that is on a topic and you did a really good job of optimizing it for search when you published it, but you published it 4 years ago and you haven't touched it since, Google's going to start saying, oh, you know, we were putting that page up for that keyword, but we're going to start putting up this other page because it actually has more recent information. So for you as a web writer, there are a couple of opportunities here. First of all, let me just say that your clients really need help with optimizing existing pages. Now, there are two situations that you're going to run into, and you'll actually handle them both in more or less the same way. The first one is clients who have pages that they never optimized in the first place. They didn't even think about keywords or ranking on search engines. They just published the information and put it out there. These were created without SEO in mind, and so when you go in to optimize these pages, you'll look at the information that's there. You'll remove anything that is dated. You'll consider how you can increase the value of the information that's there, and then you'll think about logically what sort of keyword or phrase people would be searching for in order to find that information. You might do some research on that, and then you'll add in SEO elements. So that's one opportunity. The other is taking pages that your client actually put a lot of effort into optimizing, but that they haven't updated in 6 months, a year, or more, and going through and freshening those up, updating them so that Google sees, hey, this page was, you know, a really good page that we were sending people to, but then it kind of fell out of date. But look, they updated it, so let's start sending people there again. So for those, like I said, you'll usually be focused on pages that performed well, but now maybe have broken links. They maybe have some outdated information because, let's face it, the world does change, technology changes, regulations change, all sorts of things change, and maybe the information that they were talking about on that page is no longer the best information available. And then while you're at it, you'll take a look at the SEO elements, the things that Google really looks at to check your road signs to see what your page is about, and you'll make sure that they are as strong as they can be. So a ton of work here, and you'll probably notice I talked about how, you know, with this whole freshness thing, your high-performing pages, you really do want to be updating every 6 months to a year. So we're talking massive job security here. You can make a very good living, honestly, just offering this service on retainer to a handful of clients if you chose to do so. All right, so I'm going to take you through kind of the steps that I would recommend that you use to update a page, whether you're updating it to add optimization information or whether you are taking a high-performing page and updating it to make sure it continues to do well with SEO. So the first thing that you're going to do is you're going to review that page. You're going to look at how it shows up for, if your client has a keyword in mind they're hoping that page is ranking for, how it shows up for that keyword. You're going to look at the title tag. This is the headline that shows up on the search engine results page. You're going to look at the meta description, which is the two or three lines that show up below the headline on the search engine results page. You're going to look at the link structure. You're going to look at the actual on-page headline. You're going to read through it and see if there's any, if it does make sense, if it's really tightly focused on the keyword that they're trying to rank for. You're also going to take a close look at the introduction and make sure that it is gripping and also very clear about what the reader is going to get from continuing to read that page. You're going to make sure that the page has a logical flow to it, that it is well written and makes sense. You're going to check the page to see that it is using internal links, links to other pages on that same website to provide additional information that is maybe not the focus of this article but can be supplementary to the article. You're going to make sure the page has a strong conclusion. You wouldn't believe how many blog posts and articles and web pages just stop. They don't have a strong conclusion. And as part of that strong conclusion, it's great if you give them a next step or another thing that they might enjoy looking at on the site. That can increase credibility. It can increase the usefulness of the site. It can reduce the bounce rate. It can help you establish a deeper relationship with the reader, so good thing to do. You're also going to be like laser focused on anything that strikes you as out of date. Is there any out of date information on this page? And then you're also going to click on every link on the page to make sure that they are all active and going where they should be going. And if there are any bad links, you're going to identify those for replacement later. So that's just kind of your initial review. And this is sort of going to give you a work plan to use going forward. So step two of this process, you're going to figure out what's what. And when I say what's what, you're really going to figure out what you need to do to strengthen the optimization of this page that you're working on and to make it the very best page that it can be so that it has the best chance possible to be identified by Google as something that users might want. So the first thing you want to do is ask your client, is there a target keyword that you are trying to rank for when it comes to this particular page? And then you want to check and make sure that the target keyword the client is talking about is really a logical choice in terms of what the page is actually about. The page is there's going to be probably a handful of logical keyword choices when you read the page that you might try optimizing for. You just want to make sure that the client has realistic expectations. So if they come through, we're going to be looking at an example later on how to write a cover letter. So if your client comes through and says, well, I really want this page to rank for the term cover letter, you might come back and say, yes, that is a logical keyword because we are talking about cover letters. However, that is an extremely competitive keyword and doesn't have a lot of intent behind it, and so it might be better to pick a different key phrase, something a little longer tail to focus on ranking for. And to do that, you're going to do some keyword research. So you're going to look at what the client wants to rank for, what makes most sense in context, what makes the most sense in context of the page, and then you're going to go and look at those keywords in a keyword research tool. I have a few that I will recommend. And then you're going to come back with your client and say, yes, so you want to rank for this. but it probably is going to work better to rank for this and get on the same page there. And then once you've determined what it is that you are optimizing this existing content for, you're going to go out and check the competition, and you're going to see what their weak spots are. And then you're going to do way better on those elements than they're doing, and basically attempt to blow them out of the water with the sheer force of your quality work. All right, so once you have that in mind, the other thing that you want to check for in this What's What list is there a featured snippet? So once you figure out, hey, yes, this is the keyword that we're attempting to rank for, you want to go put that into Google and see if there is what is known as a featured snippet. Now, a featured snippet is basically this boxed result that you get on Google that sometimes gives just a definition, sometimes it gives some steps. It's much more prominent than the other results. For a while, it was listed, or it was referred to as the zero position, the featured snippet. Now it's referred to as position one officially. But if there is a featured snippet, there are some things that you can do in terms of optimization to make a go after that featured snippet placing. Now you might put the search term in, and there may be no featured snippet, in which case you don't need to worry about that. Again, the example we're going to be looking at today is the term how to write a cover letter, and this is the featured snippet displayed here for how to write a cover letter. So as we look at that, we're going to be thinking about, okay, how can we try to get our result here into this featured snippet and remove this Youth Central result, which might be kind of hard because it is a government site, but, you know, you do your best, and then hopefully it does good things for your client. All right, so your step three, you're going to go through whatever page it is that you're optimizing, and you're going to start by focusing on the body copy. So as I mentioned, you want to make sure that the introduction is really strong, and then you want to find any obvious holes. Now, holes can come in two forms. Holes can come in the form of information that is missing, and holes can come in the form of information that is dated and no longer relevant. So as you read through the article, one of the things that we'll often do as we go through and update these articles with freshness in mind is we might make them longer. We might expand on whole sections because Google really does like long content, and since you're already there and this is your goal, you know, adding to it is certainly okay. You don't have to stay within the same word count. Just make sure that your client understands that you're not necessarily staying within the same word count. So you might find that a page you're working on is pretty well structured, but that it leaves some questions. Like there are some definite spots where you think, hey, we could give some more comprehensive information here on how to do this step. And so that's something that you would do as part of this updating process. And then again, like I said, say, you know, it's an article on, you know, a WordPress theme or the best website hosting. Technology changes so quickly, you know, the whole article might be focused on the wrong thing, and you might need to change it up to really focus on what is now current and relevant and accurate. You also want to look for opportunities to add credibility. If there is any opportunity to bring in a reputable third party that has some data or has done some research that you can cite back to make the case for whatever it is that you're writing about on the page, that's a good thing to do. So look for those. And then again, you're going to want to make sure that the article finishes really strong. You're going to want to check that conclusion, make sure that it has one in the first place. And if it doesn't, or if the conclusion is really weak, you want to give that some more oomph. That's important mostly for your reader, because and your reader's reaction to these posts, this is part of why we do freshness, is it helps keep your reader on the page longer. Your reader's reaction to those posts and what they do next and how often they come back, those things do matter. And so you want to give everything that you write or work on a satisfying conclusion where your reader finishes and is like, yeah, that was good. They don't feel like, wait, are we done? I thought there was going to be more. So do pay attention to those conclusions. The other thing that you want to do, once you've gone through and you've added all this great information and you've brought in this credibility and you've punched up the introduction, and you've written a really solid conclusion, the next thing you're going to do is go through and make sure that your work is really easy to read. And a lot of this has to do with, some of it has to do with how you organize it, obviously. And you've already checked for logical flow, and maybe that's something that you have updated as you update the body copy as well. But you want to add some pull quotes, and you want to make sure that it has images to kind of give the reader some visual rest, and you want to use short paragraphs and lots of subheads. So you just want to make, and short sentences where you can, and you don't want all your paragraphs to be the same length. You want some of them to be, you know, maybe two lines or maybe one line, and some of them to be four or five lines. All of this kind of white space, this room that we add by putting in images and putting in pull quotes and using subheads and using those shorter paragraphs, give the reader the impression when they look at it, hey, this is going to be easy to read. And that's hugely important. It may sound like a small thing, but if a reader looks at something and they're there, they've gone to the search engine, they've clicked on your link, and now they're on your page, if their first thought is, oh, this looks really easy to read, and obviously they probably don't even think that as a sentence in their head, but that's the impression they have, they'll start reading. If it looks hard to read, they may think, oh, I do want to read this, but I'm going to come back to it later. And then it's really a crapshoot as to whether or not they actually come back to it later. So making it easy to read, making it easy on the eyes is going to help to draw them in. All right, and then once you do all of that, you're going to go back through the SEO elements and make sure that this is SEO strong. So one of the things that I didn't mention on the last slide, we're going to back up a slide. When you add images, you have the option to include what is called an alt tag. And the alt tag's main purpose is for anybody who's using a screen reader, so they're not loading images. The alt tag gives them a quick summary of what the image is about. So the image on this page or on this slide, if we were to do an alt tag, we might say young girl reading a large book. And that just lets somebody who's not using images or somebody who is visually impaired to know what's going on with that image space. Now, for a good long while, a lot of people would just load up their alt tags with keywords, the keywords that they wanted to rank for. And the reason that they did this was because it did actually work. It did give a little extra SEO juice to their page. It was kind of like a little upvote in Google's algorithm. But Google is getting better and better at recognizing when you're padding your alt tags. And Google's number one concern is for the experience of the searcher. And so it's really important that you use the alt tags for their intended purpose. Now, that being said, your images may relate and should, if at all possible, relate very directly to the topic that you are writing for. And so in those cases, your descriptions, your alt tags, are going to very naturally include your keywords, and that is a good thing when that happens. All right, let me get a quick little drink of water here. Okay, so as I said, once you've got your body copy where you want it to be, you've spruced it up, made it stronger, cut away the deadwood, added in new stuff, added in credibility, made it really visually appealing, you're going to review all the SEO elements to make sure that it is strong as possible for the primary key phrase that you are tailoring it to. So the SEO elements that you really want to pay attention to are that title tag. Again, the title is probably the most important signal to Google about what your page is about. And that's the one that shows up as the clickable link, the headline, on the search engine result page. You also want to try to include your key phrase or a variation of your key phrase in the on-page headline. So somebody clicks the link, comes to your page, you've got a big bold headline up top. Maybe it's the same as your title tag. Maybe it's a little bit different, but it should have a key phrase in there. Another thing, or a key phrase variation, it should have a synonym at least. Another thing to think about in terms of your title and your headline, they should grab your reader. So they might make a big promise. They might pique their curiosity, or they might resonate emotionally with them. Oftentimes it's easier to do that with your headline than your title tag, but you do want to look for those opportunities. Now, you don't want to sacrifice your key phrase relevance but you do want to bring the reader in. And sometimes your key phrase alone isn't enough to do that. Sometimes it is. So it's a balance. But you do want to be thinking, okay, so I want Google to know what this is about, but more importantly, I want my reader to know what this is about and to have a compelling reason to click that link and come over and read the page. So the other thing you're going to look at is what is often referred to as your meta description. This is the little two-line description I mentioned before that shows up underneath that title tag, and we'll look at this in just a minute. I have an image for you guys. You're going to want to make sure that there is your key phrase, your exact key phrase, or a variation on your key phrase within that meta description. You also want the meta description to be really easy to read, and again, to give the reader a reason to click through. So the description is going to tell them what the page is about in a way that makes them want to learn more. You're going to want to use your key phrase and variations on your key phrase within the article, and really that should have happened pretty naturally as you were writing the article, provided you were keeping a tight focus on the key phrase itself and delivering the information that your reader is going to want. And then you're going to want to review all your alt tags, make sure they're not keyword stuffed, but make sure that they are using your keywords and key phrases or variations when it's appropriate, when it actually helps to describe the image in a useful way to your readers. All right. So at this point, I am going to pause and just see, do we have any questions so far? I'm going to let you guys think for just a minute. And if you have a question, feel free to, I think you can raise your hand, and type that into the Q&A field, and I'll go ahead and answer that. All right, I don't see any questions coming in, so hopefully I'm making good sense. All right, so we're going to look at this in action. So we're going to look at this completely unrelated. I was thinking about doing something for Wealthy Web Writer, but I thought, that's probably too close to home. Let's go ahead and do something completely unrelated. So the phrase that I picked, the key phrase that I picked, was how to write a cover letter. And I did a search for that. And I decided that we would go ahead and look at this position 4 in the organic results and see if we could do anything to spruce up this page. So first, let's just go ahead and doing our review spot. This right here is that title that I keep referring to, How to Write a Cover Letter, Step-by-Step Tips, The Muse. This is a really nice structure for your title tag. It's got the exact key phrase that I searched for, how to write a cover letter. And then it also mentions the brand that is the site that this is appearing on. And you'll notice that's actually really common. That's what's happening here as well, and also what's happening here up on Harvard Business Review. Okay, so down here, writing a cover letter for a job, use this expert advice to make sure your cover letter is in amazing shape from the opening lines to your final edits. So that's off to a really good start as a description. I probably am going to have some thoughts on that later. We'll probably come back to this slide. So, Fran, I'm going to have you pop in here and go ahead and share that page. All right. So we took a look at some of the SEO elements, and so far the SEO is looking pretty tight. Now, I'm going to have some comments on it later, but we're just going to go ahead and look at this page. We've got a headline, How to Write a Cover Letter. That's good. It's got our exact key phrase in there, and it is a little bit different than what we saw before. We've got the all-time best tips. And then, Fran, if you can just scroll down so we can see that introduction. Perfect. Oh, a little bit back up. There we go. All right. It says, the dreaded cover letter. Every time you sit down to write one, you probably browse cover letter examples online, get overwhelmed, and think something to the effect of, does anyone really read these? Wouldn't it be so much easier if I could just let my resume speak for itself? First off, yes, we can assure you that cover letters do, in fact, get read. In fact, to some hiring managers, they're the most important part of your job application. And yes, while it would be easier to let your resume speak for itself, if that was the case, you'd completely miss the opportunity to tell the prospective employers who you are, showcase why they should hire you, and stand out above all the other candidates. So my initial thoughts on this introduction are that it's off to a really good start. I like that they're bringing a brand voice in. It's very conversational. It's not overly stuffy. It's kind of fun. But I do think it could be a little bit snappier. For example, in that second paragraph, I feel like that might work better as bullets in order to just make it a little bit more readable. So as I'm going through this, so far I'm like, okay, the SEO is pretty tight, but we're going to look at that element by element. And then I would make a note, I think I can do better on the introduction. It's good, but I think I can make it even better. All right, and then as we scroll down, Fran, if you could just scroll down, so cover letter basics is right at the top there. So we see cover letter basics, and they're making good use of headlines. Write a fresh cover letter for each job. Go ahead and use a template, and you'll see that they're doing a good job using internal linking. Most of these links are internal links. And then we scroll down further, and we see we've got this section, your cover letter greeting and first paragraph. This is getting started, so what you're going to be including in the first section, that's good. But what I'm starting to notice as we scroll through this is while I like how this is structured, there aren't any images, and there aren't any like screenshotted examples. So now we have the main event, what to put in the body of your cover letter. Again, we have some subheads there. Fran, you're amazing. You're doing a great job. Okay, bullets. Bullets are good. We like that. Going down a little further, kind of a clever subhead there. Think about what the company can do for you. Highlight the right experience. So I like this. I like how it's organized. I think it flows pretty well. They're basically chunking it out and saying, you know, okay, the first part, the body part, and then they're giving you tips for making the most out of that. But again, still no images, no pull quotes. So there are some things that I would be furiously noting here on how I might make this better. Now, we are talking about how to write a cover letter, so there's probably not going to be a ton of outdated information, but there might be, like if we stop here, it'd be open to other formats. So it says if you're applying to a more traditional company, then the tried and true 3 to 5 paragraph format probably makes sense. However, if you're gunning for a more creative or startup job or need to explain to the hiring manager, say, how your career is taking you from teaching to business development, a different approach could be appropriate. So then they kind of have a little soft sales pitch here about different things that they actually, that's not really a sales pitch. They talk about some of the cover letters that they've seen people do. One of them is from the perspective of the person's dog, which is pretty brilliant, and another turned hers into a BuzzFeed-style list. So they have some good things there, and you can link off to those examples, but this is a section that you might look at and say, okay, so they're giving me a tip here, but they're not really talking about how to execute on that tip. So this is an opportunity to expand a little bit and to give a little bit more in that section. So I would probably note here, let's expand this. Okay, and scrolling down a little bit further, we have, you know, kind of voice tips, go easy on the enthusiasm, don't let your fear of bragging get in the way, and they give you some quick tips. And these are good examples where you don't have to have a lot of information to know what they're saying, so we don't really need to expand on that. And then as we go down, finishing touches, final words and final edits. Fran, if we can scroll down a little further. Are you there, Fran? There we go. Okay. all right. So if back up just a little bit, and then it finishes with have someone gut check it. And that's one of the tips. And then there is no conclusion at all. So I definitely would want to add a conclusion. All right. So I've got some great notes at this point, and I'm going to go ahead and have Fran hand things back to me, and we'll pop back over to the slides. All right, so as I reviewed this, the things that I came across that I just walked through with you guys, the SEO looks pretty tight. We'll look at that more closely. There's a lot of good information in that post, which is great. That makes your job easy. I found that the intro to be kind of soft. I liked it, but I felt like it was a little bit dense, and I felt like we could maybe make it a little bit more grabbing, a little bit more interesting. So I'd probably have a note that I'm going to update the intro. There is a very logical order to this piece. It talks about basics, and then it talks about the introduction, and then it talks about writing in the middle, and it talks about the end. So there's actually a – remember I showed you back up that there was a featured snippet for how to write a cover letter. And the page that we are working on optimizing isn't actually set up to rank for a featured snippet. So that's definitely – they have all the information there to rank for a featured snippet. They just haven't structured it to rank for a featured snippet. So I would definitely look at what I could do to make this rank for a featured snippet. So what that would probably work out here, the featured snippet that it could rank for is what is called an ordered list featured snippet. So that's a step-by-step featured snippet. So I would probably have a summary at the top that basically does a quick and dirty look at writing a great cover letter. And I would have a subhead that says, step one, make sure you address it to the right person. I'd write a little paragraph about that, and then I'd say, step two, make sure that you start off as strong as possible, and I talk about writing the info paragraph. Step three, make yourself look as, you know, customize it for the specific job, and then I talk about, you know, the experience that you might include there. So I would go through and very briefly give people a quick guide. There would be a paragraph for each one, and then I would get into the information that they have more in depth. So what that does for Google is it says, hey, I've got a step-by-step list of how to write a cover letter here. It's structured so Google knows exactly what's happening, and it gives you the chance to rank for that featured snippet, which right now the way the page is structured doesn't have the chance to do that. The page that is ranking for this featured snippet isn't actually, it's got the purpose of a cover letter, but the way we would do it is we would actually try to rank that featured snippet for how to write a cover letter, which is what people are searching for. And if we did it right, we would actually have a really good chance of moving this page or this fourth ranked page up into that number one position. So that would be good. And I see I've got a question down here. How do you set up a featured snippet in your blog post? So it depends on the type of featured snippet that you are trying to rank for. In this case, I'm talking about an ordered list featured snippet, which is essentially a step-by-step featured snippet. And the way that you do that is you lead with a subhead, probably an H2 subhead. So that is an HTML code term. I don't want to get too technical here, but it's called an H2, and you would have that say how to write a cover letter, because this is the term you're trying to rank for, and then something like in 5 easy steps. And then you would use H3 subheads, and you would actually say, step one, make sure you address it to the right person, or address it to the right person. And then you would include a little paragraph there about how to figure out who to address it to and what not to do. And then you would say, step two, nail your introductory paragraph. And then you would include a little paragraph there about the most important things to nailing that introductory paragraph. Step three, customize it for the job. And you would talk about the type of information that you want to do there. Step four, finish strong. Step five, and each of these steps are going to be wrapped in a subhead tag, which is called an H3 tag. And then, and you can work, your web designer will know what that is. You don't really have to know what that is. You just need to make sure that you put in the comment, make this a subhead. they'll know how to do that. And then you would say, step five, you know, proof it until it's perfect or something like that. And you would finish with that. And then you would have probably a transitionary paragraph that says, okay, so we've covered the basics that you need to know to write a great cover letter, but now let's dive into some more tips. And then you'd move into the post as it already exists. So that is how you would optimize for an ordered list featured snippet. You might also optimize for something that is called a definition featured snippet. In that case, you might have the headline, the subhead, what is a cover letter? And then in a very brief paragraph, you would describe after that subhead what a cover letter is. And so when somebody searches for what is a cover letter, there is a chance you've at least put yourself out there. You've thrown your hat into the featured snippet ring that Google will select your page for that featured snippet place. So hopefully that makes sense. I will grab some resources online about the different featured snippets and how to optimize for them, and I will share those in the comments of this post after we wrap up. But the most important thing is to search the term that you're trying to rank for, see if there is a featured snippet there, and if there is, you may as well go for it. All right. This site uses really good internal linking. They link off to a lot of different things, to the point where I actually got concerned that they're competing with themselves in terms of different pages for writing cover letters. There's no conclusion here, so I would definitely would work on making that conclusion better. I checked all the links. There were no bad links. That's excellent. But it was really light on external links. They did have one external link to WordCloud. That's good. But they had a mention of Hemingway, and they linked Hemingway, but they actually linked to a page on their site about Hemingway, and it would probably be better in terms of SEO to actually link to the Hemingway site. Now, a lot of your clients will say, but we don't want people clicking links and going away to to other web pages. The thing is, it's called the web for a reason, and it's important to show that you are willing to point your readers to other useful resources. I call this Google's plays well with others score. So don't be afraid when it makes sense to, and it's going to help your reader, and it's about something that wouldn't necessarily be covered in depth on your site, to go ahead and link to those external resources. Don't be afraid to do that. All right, so having done our review, we want to talk about the keyword. So the target keyword right now seems to be how to write a cover letter, or it might even be that they're trying to optimize for write a cover letter. And as I read through it and I look at their title tag and their description and their headline, how to write a cover letter really is the logical keyword. But I did some keyword research on UberSuggest. So UberSuggest is a tool, it has a free side to it, created by Neil Patel. And if you just type UberSuggest into Google, it will take you to that. It's a very useful one. A couple other free keyword tools that I recommend. One is called Answer the Public. That's a great tool, particularly for brainstorming. Another one is called SERPstat, SERPstat.com. That will give you some really good free information. And then another one I really enjoy is called Soovle, S-O-O-V-L-E. So with that one, you type in the key phrase that you're searching for, and it actually shows you what people are searching for, what variations of that they're searching for on Google, on Bing, on Yahoo, on Amazon, on Ask, on Wikipedia. So it's another great brainstorming tool as well. Tim says Soovle is awesome. I love Soovle. It's a lot of fun. It's a great tool. All right. So right now, everything points to this page being optimized for how to write a cover letter. And if we come down here, how to write a cover letter, and Kathleen requests, would I write those tools out for us? Absolutely, I will, Kathleen. I will put those here in the chat in just a minute. You guys will have to bear with me. But then I will also put them with links on the event page on Wealthy Web Writer, so they won't disappear for you. You'll be able to go back and find them. All right, so how to write a cover letter. We're getting a search volume of 110,000 per month. That looks pretty good. There is some paid activity for this term. Now, we're not trying to rank for paid activity, but paid activity gives us a good idea about the interest in the term and how valuable the term is. The term isn't super easy to rank for. It's not super hard to rank for. However, when I come down here to how to write a cover letter for a job, we're getting more paid activity, so that's a slightly more valuable term. Our search volume is quite a bit less, and a lot of people are like, well, less search volume, I don't know. But this is actually really easy to rank for, So if we take this page and actually update it to optimize for how to write a cover letter for a job, a cool thing happens for about 5,000 people. That is, somebody asked, what is PD? That is paid difficulty, how difficult it is to have your paid ad serve up at the top. So the paid difficulty for all of these terms isn't too bad. Actually, the most difficult term is how to write a cover letter job, or how to write a cover letter job. So if we're looking at how to write a cover letter for a job, we have a really good chance of ranking all the way up at the top for this term, because it is quite a bit easier, like way easier to rank for than how to write a cover letter. But the cool thing that happens is if we do a really good job, because this how to write a cover letter term is actually embedded in how to write a cover letter for a job, we will also be optimizing for that term as we go. So my recommendation coming back to the client would be, all right, we're going to optimize this for how to write a cover letter for a job. In doing so, we'll also be optimizing it for how to write a cover letter for this 110,000 search volume, but we're going to have a much better chance for a pretty decent volume of people being in that number one spot. So that's why we do the keyword research. We're able to come back to our client and say, yes, I'm going to do exactly what you want me to do, but I'm also going to do this slightly different take on what you want me to do that's going to get you an even better result over here without hurting the result that you're aiming after. Hopefully that makes sense to everybody. All right. So with that in mind, the things that I would do to this post, and we've kind of already talked about them, but just going through, I would strengthen the intro. I would make it punchier. And when I say I would make it punchier, I would actually break up the paragraphs a little bit. I might have some bullets in there. Right after the intro, I would break out some steps to optimize for that featured snippet. Then I would get into the post as it exists now, which has a lot going for it. I would add some images. I would make sure to include good alt tags for those images. I would look into data I would look for like survey data on how people use cover letters and what a difference a well-written cover letter can make to landing a job. And I would work some of that data in there because that's going to add some credibility. I might even ask my client if they have any hiring managers that they know that would be willing to do an interview. And I'd talk to the hiring managers about what they think is important in a cover letter. And I would include quotes from those hiring managers in there as well. Again, adding more credibility. I would break this up in addition to adding images. Like I said, they've done a really good job with their subheads. I would add images to make it a little bit visually more appealing, and I would also add some pull quotes to make it more appealing. And then I would strengthen the conclusion, by which I mean I would, you know, write a conclusion for this post. So that covers step 3 and 4, making the improvements. And remember, your improvements go to the substance, and then they also go to the ease of reading. So I'm covering both of those right here. And then I'd go and look at those SEO elements. Now, the title is good. However, based on what I said about the keywords, I would actually change the title from how to write a cover letter. And let's go up and look at our exact title. Oops, going too fast. How to write a cover letter, step-by-step tips. I would change that to how to write a cover letter for a job. And then a step-by-step guide. Step-by-step tips to me sounds a little bit random. Step-by-step guide sounds like it's going to have good structure and it's not going to leave anything to chance. So for how to write a cover letter, their title is pretty much perfect right now. I would change it to how to write a cover letter for a job for the reasons that we already discussed and probably make some tweaks just to make it a little bit more reassuring and impactful for the viewer. We also want to look at this description. Writing a cover letter for a job, use this expert advice to make sure your cover letter is in amazing shape from the opening lines to your final edits. Now, depending on the edits that I did, I would probably sit down and write out a few different descriptions. And remember, you want your description to be readable. They've done a really good job with their readability here. And then you want it to entice the reader to click through. It's a basic description of what you're doing, but also with a promise or a benefit or some emotional intrigue in there. So this is a good description, but I would play with it. I would see if I could come up with a better variation on that. All right, oops, I keep jumping past things. Their headline, again, was good, but I thought it could be stronger. So their headline was How to Write a Cover Letter, the All-Time Best Tips. I don't love the all-time best tips. I would really play around with that headline and see if I could come up with something that would really wow my reader and have them feeling like I need to write a cover letter and this is the exact this is going to have the exact information that I need. I would double check all the alt tags. So remember, I'm adding images to make this more visually appealing, and I would make sure that I have well-written descriptive alt tags that only use keywords where it's appropriate, where it actually helps the reader to understand what the image is about. And then in the body copy. So having an exact key phrase in the body copy sometimes is a little bit tricky. If you can do it naturally, it's a good thing to do. You don't want to do it too often. You don't want to stuff. But if you can have that how to write a cover letter for a job appear naturally in the body copy and in one or two of the subheads, that's going to be good. So if you can get that exact key phrase into your opening paragraph, that's a pretty strong signal to Google, hey, this is what the page is about. You do not want to sacrifice readability for that. So I go through and I write the page. I have my key phrase in mind, but I'm not like trying to stick my key phrase in there. Then what I'll do is I'll pick a section of my key phrase that I know I have used a lot in the body copy. So in this case, it might be write a cover letter. And I will actually do a search for that, write a cover letter. And where I find it, I'll look at it and say, does it make sense reading naturally here? Does it hurt the readability or help the readability to phrase that as how to write a cover letter? And if it helps the readability, then I will add that in there. So the most powerful places to have your exact key phrase within the body copy are in the intro and in the conclusion. But again, natural readability is the most critical thing here. Do not sacrifice that for keyword placement in your body copy. All right, so the question that I know is, well, maybe on everybody's mind, is this all sounds great and it sounds like something that I can absolutely do, but how much do I charge for this? And the answer is, as always, it depends. It depends on a lot of things. It depends on your level of experience. It depends on how many people that you can point to that you can say, hey, I did this for them, and they were very happy with the results. But generally speaking, for updating a page to make it fresh for Google or to bring in optimization that wasn't there before, you can charge somewhere between $200 and $500 for a page. Russ Henneberry, who teaches the SEO Content Mastery Program, recommends that you bundle this, that you come in and say, I am going to freshen up your five most popular pages from the last year, and that you charge like a package deal for that. So you might charge anywhere between $1,000 and $2,500 for that package. But that breaks down to $200 to $500 per page. I can't emphasize enough how much need there is for this. Like, you could make this your full-time gig and never run out of work. The demand, a lot of sites are just starting to recognize that this is something that they need to do, that they just have to do. And they're scrambling to do it, and they're realizing, this is more work than we realized, and they would love to have somebody come in that specializes in this, knows exactly what they're doing, and can get them a good result. So it's a great opportunity, and if you, like, I love editing stuff. I love writing stuff from scratch, but I also enjoy working with existing content to make it better, and if that is something that you enjoy doing, then this is like, the perfect opportunity for you. All right, you guys are a great audience. Do I have any final questions? I've presented all the information. I am going to be including links to each of those keyword research tools that I recommended over on the page. I'm actually going to type those into the chat right now as well. So you guys think about if you have questions while I put these in. So the first one is serps.com. Suval.com is a ton of fun. Answer the Public is very useful. And the question that we do have a question, is it necessary to be certified in SEO like with Heather Lloyd Martin's programs? It is not necessary to be certified. You can do this work without a certification. That's really between you and your client. Having certification can give you a little extra weight in your marketing and might give you the opportunity to start out at a higher rate, but don't let that be a barrier to entry for you. You can definitely do this just through self-study and your own know-how. And then neilpatel.com/ubersuggest is probably the tool that I go to most often. I just like the way that it is structured. Although Neil is starting to move more toward a paid model, so it's always good to be on the lookout for a variety of tools, because a lot of places will start out and they'll kind of get you hooked because the first one's free, and then they will start asking you to pay for it. And Patel is starting to move in that direction, which is totally fine. He's got a great tool there, so he has every right to ask to be compensated for that. So far, I don't see any sign that SERPstat is moving toward making it only useful if it's a paid paid version, and then Suval and Answer the Public are just, they're just off. All right. Tim mentions that the folks over at Answer the Public are a little contrarian, and they are. It's a fun site. What do you think of Site Build It? It has a keyword tool. I don't have a lot of personal experience with Site Build It. I do know some people who have used Site Build It, and I think that they would come out and say, you know, it's got some definite pros and some definite cons. I know Nick Osborne has used it for some of his sites, and overall, his review of Site Build It, I think, is pretty positive. They do have a keyword tool that is wrapped into that that I think is pretty useful. But I'm not an authority on Site Build It, unfortunately. All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that. I hope that you found it useful. If you come up with any other questions as you re-listen to this or as you think about it later, please put those into the comments on the event page on the site, and I will do my best to get those answered for you. I just want to thank everybody who joined me today. It has been my pleasure, and I hope you all have a fantastic weekend. I'll be talking to you again soon. Thanks.